Amen. Well, tonight I just want to pick up again on the subject that we've been doing on the rock. And we've been looking at this around these words, on the rock, building our lives on God's word. And if you want to come with me to Matthew 16. I've been looking at them. Verse 18 and then verse 19. Chapter 16, my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Now, we've spent many weeks going around looking at that verse and looking at that statement there, on this rock. And without repeating everything that I've said before, I believe from the scriptures that what Jesus was talking about here on this rock, he's talking about the revelation of the Word of God. And he said that on this rock he's going to build his church. On this rock, or this rock, this Word, will not be able to be overcome. You know, Hades itself will not be able to prevail against what God has revealed in his word. That's why Jesus could use it against the devil when he was tempted. You know, on this rock. You know, Satan himself cannot prevail against the word of God. That's why it's one of our greatest weapons that we have in our Christian armory. You know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, we can, with the word of God, we can cut the legs right off the devil and bring him into that place where he flees from us. Why? Because he cannot prevail against the word of God. But then Jesus went on speaking to Peter. And he said to him here in verse 19, we haven't touched on this at all in this teaching, but this is what we're going to look at tonight. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, Jesus promised Peter that he would give him the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now I want us to consider this question tonight, and this is where we're going to go with this topic, and we're going to look at some scriptures tonight. What are these keys that Peter here is promised by Jesus that he will have? Jesus said that he would give him, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now that doesn't mean that Peter is the one who has control. You know what, when we have keys, it's to either lock or unlock things such as doors. There's no other purpose for a key other than to lock or unlock something like a door. Home, we lock. If we have valuables and we want to keep them safe from thieves and those that would try and take them, we lock them in a safe. And in order to gain access to those valuables, we need to unlock the safe. So that's the only reason we have keys. Now, Jesus here, I don't believe Jesus here was talking about physical keys. But he's using this in a figurative sense. And he's showing his disciples, or he's going to show his disciples, some principles that would unlock the kingdom of heaven. Now, again, before we go on, we need to just clarify what Jesus means here by the kingdom of heaven. A kingdom is the domain of a king. It's a place where the king rules. It's his realm, the place of his authority. And now, for us as Christians, and those of us that are belong to the Lord, the kingdom of heaven is the realm of God's rule and authority. It's the place where he rules and he reigns. And God rules and reigns, as we've seen already in previous sessions, that God rules and reigns by his word. Now I believe what Jesus was telling Peter here was that he would give him the keys of the kingdom. He would give him the principles of the word of God, which would unlock the blessing of God for him and for all those that would use these principles. You know, we can only receive anything from God. If you want something, if you've got a need or you want anything from God, you can only receive that through faith. Whether that's salvation, we're saved by grace through faith. If we want to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we receive them through faith. If we need guidance in an area, or we want wisdom from God, what does James write in the first chapter of James? It says, let him ask in faith. If we need healing for our body, we receive it through faith. Or any material blessings, it comes through faith. So where do we get this faith from? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith is developed as we hear the word of God, as we listen to the word of God. It's one reason why, and it's not always possible because out. I would encourage you to do that. Somebody once described it like a, I'm not sure if this was somebody else or whether it was my father quoting somebody else or it was him speaking, but he said, when you hear the word, when you speak the word of God, it goes in your ears and down into your heart. And then it comes up out of your mouth. And then it goes in your ears and down into your heart and comes up out of your mouth. You know, that's hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And faith comes that way. You know, so there's a connection between receiving the things we need and the word of God. So if we've got needs, we've got things, issues and things that we're praying about, go to the word of God. Find in the word of God. Find a scripture. Find a promise. And begin to connect that word with faith. Now let's look at what... Now I've got here a few things that I believe are keys concerning the word of God, or principles of the word of God. Now some of these we've already covered, some of these we've looked at before, and it's going to be good for us to go over them again. You know, it's good to recover ground. Why? Because when we go over it, faith cometh. Now don't just take something from the word and go, oh, I've read that, and dispense with it. Now, go over it. Go back to it. Go over it again. Why? Because as we keep going over it and over it, faith comes. Faith comes. You know, I like the actual verse in Romans 10. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing the word of God. It says faith comes by hearing and hearing. Now, that may not be grammatically the way it's put in the scriptures, but faith comes by hearing and hearing. And if I'm allowed just to add to that a little, if you'll allow me, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Faith comes. That's how faith is developed. It comes by continually hearing the word of God. You know, and that brings us to point one, because God's people, and this is principle number one, one of the keys of the kingdom of heaven in regards to the word of God. God's people were commanded to stay in the Word. If you come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now I've got quite a lot of scriptures tonight, and we'll just see how far we go. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we're going to read to 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. You know, Moses gives instructions to the children of Israel concerning their attitude toward, he says, our children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Do you know what Moses was actually telling the children of Israel to do here? He told them to give their full attention to the Word of God. Look, he says, I command you today, he said, these words that I have spoken to you and I've commanded you, he says, they've got to be in your heart. How do you get them in your heart? Well, it's by continually speaking about them. He says, teach them diligently to your children. Be diligent to speak God's words in your home, in your life, everywhere you are. He says, teach them to your children so that in every aspect of their daily life, they have a reference to the Word of God. You know, he says, when you sit down, talk about the Word. Let the Word of God be on your lips. When you rise up, when you're out walking, talk about the Word of God. When you lie down, when you rise up, keep God's Word as the center of your life. You know, stay in the Word of God. This is that they were to display them on the doors so that they continue to read them and live them. Now today we might say put God's Word on, perhaps on the door of your fridge, put it on your mirror, put it wherever you can see it. You know, it's good to have the Word of God up in pictures and posters and little texts and maybe fridge magnets. You know, keep the Word of God before your eyes. Look at it, read it. Why? Because we've been commanded to stay in the Word of God. You know, it's one of the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You're commanded to stay in the Word of God. Joshua perpetuated this command by reminding the children of Israel to continue in the Word of God. In Joshua 1, perhaps we'll go there. In Joshua 1, verses 7 and 8. This is a beautiful scripture. I love reading this chapter of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. And he's telling the children of Israel again. Now they're just about to go into the promised land. Moses has gone. Moses has is no longer responsible for God. Joshua has taken on the role of their pastoral leader in that sense. And here he is telling God's people, just as Moses did, to stay in the Word of God. He's telling them to keep in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. And he says that if they do this, they would be successful. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. That you may prosper wherever you go. Don't turn away from the Word of God. Don't turn off to the left or to the right. Don't be diverted or distracted from the Word of God. He says, then, he says, your way will be prosperous. And he goes on in verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. There we are again. Keep talking about it. Diligently teach your children the Word of God. When you walk by the way, when you rise up, now keep this Word of God in your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, we're not just to keep God's Word in our mouth, but Joshua says that we've got to observe, we've got to do what it tells us to do. And we've covered that previously. You know, be a doer of the Word of God. as James writes and tells us. Then if we turn over again, this time to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to go to chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Now Solomon, here is giving his son strict instructions to continue in the Word of God. And he tells him, as Moses did, as Joshua did, he's telling him to pay attention to what God says. You know, stay in the Word of God. What does he say here in verse 20? He says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." You know, pay attention to the Word of God. Solomon says, "My son," he says, "give or pay attention to my words." Now, my words here are God's words. Not Peter's words, not my words, but what Solomon is saying. You know, he's being inspired of the Holy Spirit to say and pen these words. You know, give attention to these words, the Word of God. He says, don't let them depart from your eyes, just as Moses told the children of Israel, just as Joshua told the children of Israel. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He says, for they are life to those who find them. You know, if you want life, stay in the Word of God, because God's Word will bring you life. It was Peter, wasn't it, when Jesus and the disciples a question, he says many had left him on a particular day, and he turns to his disciples and he says, "Do you want to leave me also?" And Peter responds to Jesus and says, "Lord," he says, "you know, where shall we go? To whom shall we go?" He says, "You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life." You know, God's word is life. And they are life to those who find them. Health to all their flesh. Then he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed or spring the issues of life. Did you know the issues of your life come out of your heart? That's New Testament teaching as well. Jesus taught that. You know, it's out of a man's heart that come forth the things that we say and the things we do. He was teaching his disciples. He said, look, it's not what a man takes in by eating or by drinking that corrupt him. It's what comes out of his heart. Because that's where the real person is. It's the heart of man. And out of the heart come all the issues of life. And a godly man or woman needs to guard his heart or her heart with the Word of God. You know, God's Word will be the garrison and the guard. Now, in the New Testament it says, the peace of God will guard and garrison your heart. But God's Word, "Your Word I've hid in my heart," the psalmist said, "lest I sin against you, or that I might not sin against you." This same verse, verse 23, in the Amplified Translation puts it like this: "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life." Now, above all things that you guard, guard your heart. You know, guard it with the Word of God. You know, keep God's Word. You know, right there, inside us. Well, that's all very well, you might say, you know, we've looked at Old Testament scriptures there. Well, that's not Old Testament teaching. It's not just Old Testament teaching. It's New Testament as well.
I remember somewhere in the New Testament that I read, somebody was talking about something that was eating, and Jesus said something along those lines. It's not what you're putting into your mouth, it's what's coming out.
That's what I've just said, yes. Yeah. Not what goes into a man, it's what comes out of a man. If you come with me to John 15, verse 7. So I know there are some people, maybe not amongst us, but there are people in the world that you say, well, you know, that was Moses, Joshua, Solomon. Well, we're no longer under the law now, we're under grace. Well, we can hear it direct from the words of Jesus himself here. John 15, verse 7. Direct from the words of Jesus. Somebody who's got it, perhaps somebody can read that verse for me. John 15, 7.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
Yes. If you abide in me and my words you desire, and it shall be done for you. Do you know what this word abide means? Yeah. It means to dwell. Yeah. To stay. Stay in the Word of God. Dwell in the Word of God. Live in the Word of God. Allow the Word of God. And says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. You see, there's the connection there between the Word of God and receiving the things that we need. You know, they are the words of Jesus. So it's not just what Moses taught. It's not just what Joshua taught. It's not what Solomon said. Here we have Jesus himself speaking, telling us to stay in the Word of God. Now just to wrap up this little thought about continuing in the Word of God. We can't leave the New Testament without, I know we've heard from Jesus here, but let's go to the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, and again I want to go to a favourite chapter of mine in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because here the Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. Now Timothy was a young man. A young man who was involved in the work of God. A young man who was pastoring a small church. Well, it's a small church, it might have been a big church, but he was pastoring a church. And Paul here, this is one of Paul's converts, someone who Paul has brought to the Lord. And Paul here is teaching this young man and giving him all the training and all the instruction that he can. And he says this to Timothy. Let's go to verse 14. Let's go back to verse 10. I'm not going to read all of this, but he says, you have carefully followed my doctrine. You've carefully followed what I've taught you. The manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. And he adds, persecutions and affliction. He says, you've followed the things I've taught you. You've followed my example. You've followed the way I live. You know, you've observed. You've learned from me. And then he goes on in verse 14. And he says, you, which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Continue in the things which you have learned. Continue in the Word of God. Well, he actually goes on in verse 15 and tells him that. He says, look, he says, from now Timothy had a great mother and a great grandmother. Eunice and Lois, one's his mother, one's his grandmother. But you get it at the beginning in Timothy. But here, Paul writes, and he says, continue in the things which you've learned. Continue. Your mother taught you. Your grandmother taught you. I have taught you. Continue in the Word of God. Now, Timothy had been brought up on the Word, and Paul's here encouraging to stay in it. Go with it. Continue with it. Why? Because it would lead him. It would guide him. It would instruct him. It would train him for life and service to God. Because he goes on, he said, look, he said, then we have that great quotation there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know, continue in the Holy Scriptures. What you've been trained, what you've learned. You know, and that's the encouragement we have from the Word of God to us tonight, that we stay in the Word of God. That's a key of the kingdom of heaven. Then another key. We'll get through this one a little bit quicker. Because we've already covered it in a previous lesson. So it's I can skip through it quite quickly. The second key is that God's Word is eternal. We've got to know that God's Word is eternal. You know, God will not change His Word. He doesn't say one thing today and tomorrow say, oh, by the way, I've changed my mind. Yeah, I know I promised you if you believed on me you'd have everlasting life. Well, today that doesn't apply. No. God will never change His Word. In actual fact, we have it quite strongly put in Psalm 89. In Psalm 89 and verse 34. Again, this is a great scripture. And when you turn this up, when you've got Psalm 89, underline this in your Bibles or highlight it so that it stands out. Psalm 89, verse 34. Because this is a foundational scripture. Psalm 89, verse 34. And it says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Break his covenant, and he will not change or alter one word that has been spoken from his lips. Other people can offer their thoughts, their opinions. They can make diagnoses. Governments can legislate. That does good the test of time, and it will continue to stand. It will not change. It doesn't change. God does not change his. We had this morning, and we have it in Malachi 3, verse 6, I believe it is. God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. I do not change. He doesn't change, his word doesn't change. He will not change one word. Now, he will not change his word because we are too impatient to wait. Or we're not prepared to pray it through and stand in faith for it. God will not change his word. Neither will he change his word for those that refuse to obey and try and rush off. God does not change his word. What he has said stands. We have this in Matthew 24, 35, and again in 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25. Matthew 24, 35. And 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25. Because in both these scriptures, Jesus says it, Peter quotes it. He says that God's word endures forever. Even when the heavens and the earth have passed away, it abides, it remains, it lasts forever. Jesus said it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Peter could say that the word of the Lord endures. You know, we're in the Psalms, and there's another scripture. Again, we've touched on it previously, but we're going to go back and look at it, because for me, this has to be one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament. Now, Psalm 119. And in verse 89, we read these words. Forever, O Lord. How long?
Forever.
Forever, O Lord. Your word is settled in heaven. How long is forever? Can we fix a time frame on that word forever? No, because it means forever. It doesn't mean until the end of next week. It doesn't mean until the end of next year. It doesn't mean until the end of our life on earth. The word forever means forever. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's eternal. And regardless of whether we believe, it's true. It's established. You know, the truth of the matter is this, that men change. We change. Feelings change. But God's word remains. God's word remains. Stay in that same psalm and look at verse 160. Because key number three, principle number three, is that God's word is true. And Psalm 119 verse 160 says this, the entirety of your word is truth. Do you know what this word entirety means? Just the New Testament? No. The whole of it. The entire word of God. Everything God has spoken. Everything God has said. And the Bible declares that all of the word of God is true in its entirety. From what we know as Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Everything is true. In his prayer to the Father, Jesus declared that God's word is true. You have that in John 17:17. Jesus prays for his disciples. He's praying for you and for me. And he says, Father, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. You know, do you believe God's word is true? It's a principle. It's a key. You know, God cannot lie. We read it in Psalm 89. He cannot break his word. He will not change one word that's spoken from his lips. And he has given us his promise and his oath. And we read that in Romans 3 and Hebrews 6. His promise and his oath. He cannot lie. If you're looking in Romans 3, it's Romans 3 verses 1 to 4. I'm not going to take the time to read the scriptures, but if you want to write them down, read them at home. Romans 3, the first four verses. And here in Romans 3, Paul is saying, that we've got to come to that place, that conclusion, that above everything else, above whatever man says, whatever our feelings tell us, whatever our circumstances try and dictate to us, we've got to come to that place where we say that God is true. That God, what God has said is true. God cannot lie. Then in Hebrews 6, verse 18, would tell us that God has given us his promise and his oath. These two immutable things that cannot change. Yes, as I just said, men change, feelings change, circumstances change, but God's word never changes. The weather changes, but God's word never changes. God's word is true. You know, I've had people say to me, yes, this is all very well me saying what I'm saying and what I teach. They say, but you've got to face the facts. You've got to face the facts. And the facts may be that things aren't going the way we want them to go or the way we expect them to be. They may be facts, but the truth can change the facts. The truth of God's word will change the facts. You know, when we start saying the facts, the things that we see, the things that we feel, we start pulling ourselves away from the Word of God. What we've got to do is come back to the Word of God. Don't bring the Word of God down to your experience. Take your experience up to the level of the Word of God. You may look at the scripture and say, well, I'm not experiencing that in my life. Well, don't try and justify your experience by saying, well, maybe God didn't mean it, or God didn't really say it, or God didn't promise me that. No, take God's word as the foundation and let your experience rise to the level of it. You know, God's word is true, and it will not change. I want to go to one more scripture, and I will finish with that. Psalm 138. Psalm 138. And I think this is a great scripture.
This is the third.
I have another two for you, which, God willing, we'll look at next week.
Psalm
138. Verse 2. Now I want you just to... You believe that every scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every scripture is breathed of God. It's God's word to you and to me. I take it you believe that. So when we read something in the scriptures, which we're going to see right now, take it, this is what God is saying. It might sound strange to your ears, but this is what God says. Verse 2, Psalm 138, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Listen to this. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You have magnified your word above all your name. You know, we have songs, and I don't like to take theology or doctrine from the songbook, because many of the songs are so far from the Word of God. But we have songs which say, and we actually have the scripture in Philippians 2, that God has highly exalted the name of Jesus and given him the name which is above every name. And we sing songs that, you know, there's no name that is higher. And that's true. But this verse of scripture here tells us that God has magnified his word above his name. God has raised his word above his name. God has, I'm going to put it like this, and I want you to listen to what I'm going to say. And don't misinterpret what I'm about to say. God has bound himself to his covenant. Or we could say his word. God has bound himself to his word. And he will not and cannot work outside of his word. Now, I said something a few weeks ago, and following on from that, what I said, I had quite an interesting conversation with a brother, and he said, you need to make room, this is basically what he said, you need to make room for the sovereignty of God, for God to be sovereign. And yes, God is sovereign, but he's sovereign within the framework of his word. Amen. He will not work outside of his word. What God has said, that is his will. And he will not add to it. He tells us not to add to the word of God or take from the word of God, and neither will he. This is his word. It's eternal, it's true. It doesn't change. So that means God needs to work within his... That's what covenant is. I will keep everything I've said in my word. Two parts to a covenant. If we do something, now all we have to do as Christians, we don't have to promise to do X, Y, Z. All we got to do is believe what God tells us. Believe it, God will keep his side of his covenant. Amen. He will keep his word. Now, I believe this is one reason why some people don't always see the results that they might want. Why? Because maybe they're asking God to do something which he's already said in his word has been done. Now, if God has said it's already done, why do we keep asking him to do it? It's already done. And there are other things that, you know, perhaps we ask God to do for something which is clearly not his will according to scriptures. You don't, I don't know whether you will believe this or not. I remember this quite clearly. This was it interrupted my evening. I got a phone call one New Year's Eve. A few years ago, and the brother, I say the brother, he wasn't a brother, the guy on the phone said to me, he says, I've got your number from the telephone book. And I said, yes. He says you are the pastor of the church. And I said, yes. Because I says, I'm wondering whether you would marry me. No, he wasn't asking me. And he began to tell me, and he says, would you marry me and my partner? He said, would you? And then he began, I found out these are two guys. Well, he said, it wasn't so much married, because it wasn't legal in the eyes of the law, but... He wanted me to perform a ceremony. And I said no.
On New Year's Eve, he rang you to ask
him? He rang me on New Year's Eve. I said no. Apart from which, I couldn't have done it anyway because the church we had wasn't licensed for marriages. But that was beside the point. I told him no. And I was sharing with another brother this story. And he said... This is a Christian brother. And you wouldn't believe, he says, well, you could have at least blessed. I said, you what? He said, you could have at least had a blessed. This, you know, my... I didn't know what to say to him. But you know, you could have blessed. You know, God's word clearly states, and whether they like it or whether they don't like it, and this is the line that I will stick. If it means I am locked up and put in jail for it, then so be it. But this is the line. The scriptures tell us that homosexuality is an abomination to God. So how can we bless what is abominable to God? How can we go along with what God hates? Now, he doesn't hate the person. He hates the sin. He loves the person. He will receive the person. He will forgive the person if they truly repent. But he hates the sin. Now, if I have to go to prison for that statement, then so be it. But that's what God's word says. So we cannot go outside of the word of God, because God will not go outside of his word. We cannot say, well, Lord, just bless and do this. No, God will not do it. So we've got to stick to the word of God. We've got to stay in the word of God. We're commanded to stay in the word of God, to continue in the word of God. Remember, God's word is eternal. Number two, the third key, God's word is true. I will give you keys 4 and 5, but I will pick them up next week. Number four is God's word must be our primary source of sustenance. And number five, God's word must, and I underline, must take priority in our life. It must take priority above all else. But we'll cover those, God willing, next week. Amen.